Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for June the 13th, 2018. It's my 394th word for word. So I've been at this a while. That doesn't count the repeats. We are in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew. The Old Testament and the Apocrypha are finished. And we're in the book of Matthew. I'm going slowly, giving lots of references, okay? That's the key. So you will need something to write these down. I can only repeat them once or twice, otherwise I won't get the show done. I can't go that slow, because people will lose interest. But I will be going slow enough that you can write stuff down if you wish. If you don't wish, well, you can replay the show on my website, which is www.pastor-steve.com. Now, these shows are under the New Testament. There's several categories that you click on, and the shows drop down. So this is the second in the New Testament series. I will be in the New Testament all year, for sure. So let's get started in chapter 3 of Matityahu, which is Matthew in Hebrew. This was originally written in Hebrew. I will be pronouncing names in Hebrew. I'm not going to get into the spelling again. I'll never get the show done. I can only do so much. Look it up. It'll be in your Strong's Concordance. I want you to do a little work too. Look it up. Verse 1 of chapter 3. And in those days, Yohanan, the immerser, came proclaiming in the wilderness of Yahuda. Okay, that's John the Baptist. Verse 2 of chapter 3, and you can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 17, and the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15. That's Matthew 4:17, and Mark 1:15. And saying, repent, for the reign of the heavens has come near. Verse 3 of the book of Matthew, and you can reference the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah 40, verse 3. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Yeshayahu, that's Isaiah, okay, saying, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh, make his paths straight. Now, verse 4. And you can reference 2 Kings, chapter 1, verse 8. That's 2 Kings 1, 8 for verse 4. And Yohanan had a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. They used to eat locusts back then. But, you know, sounds yucky, but different times. Verse 5. Then Jerusalem and all Yehuda and all the country around the Jordan, that's the Jordan River, went out to him. In other words, they went to see him because he was a prophet and they wanted to hear what he had to say. Verse 6. And they were immersed by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Not sprinkled or dipped. They were immersed, fully immersed in the river. River baptism, okay? None of this Protestant church sprinkling or Catholic church sprinkling of a baby. Baby doesn't know it's sinned. You have to be cognizant that you have sinned and ask for forgiveness. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. It's just a meaningless ritual. Verse 7. And seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his immersion, he said to them, and you can reference Matthew 12, verse 34, and 23:33. Okay, that's Matthew 12:34 and 23:33. And he said to them, brood of adders. Okay, now that word is genema, number 1081. And it means race. Okay? They've changed things. Even here, they have changed things. They just won't touch the racial question, which is the key to all of it. race of adders or offspring of vipers. And that's 2191 vipers. Okay. Who has warned you to flee from the coming wrath? In other words, they weren't told anything because they're not of Israel. Some of them were, some of them weren't. Paul was a Pharisee for a while, but most of them were Edomites. They had wormed their way in, and they were enforcing violently their Talmudic law. Verse 8. Bear, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. Now, some might have been able to repent, some not. Okay? It depends on their racial makeup. But if they were in any way of the Edomites and the mixed breeds that had infested the priesthood at that point, there was no hope for them. And when he says, bear, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, they couldn't do it. Impossible. He was mocking, I believe. Verse 9. And in verse 9, you can reference the book of John, chapter 8, verses 33 through 44. That's John 8, 33 through 44. The book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 8. And chapter 2, I had them out of order, verses 26 through 29. That's Romans chapter 2, verses 26 through 29, and chapter 9, verse 8. All right, then it says, verse 9, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as father, because a lot of them were not of Abrahamic descent. And he's throwing that in their face. For I say to you that Elohim is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. This is a word play. There's only one letter difference between children and stones here. Children is banim, that's in the plural, and stones is abanim. Okay, that's banim and abanim. Elohim is able to raise up banim to Abraham from these abanim. This was written in Hebrew, not the Greek. And we only have fragments of the Hebrew these days. There's a lot of it that is suppressed and hidden away. But we have some of the Qumran scrolls and things that have the Hebrew in them. Now we are at verse 10 of chapter 3. And the axe is already laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, then, which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And you can reference Matthew chapter 7, verse 19 on that. Matthew 7:19. They're not bearing good fruit. They're incapable. I mean, he's laying it on them right out in public like we do here on EFR. And they hated him and they engineered his death later because he put the lie to them. He called them liars, and this is what you are. You're a race of vipers. Oh, they didn't like that at all. Well, they don't like it today either. And they attack the truther sites, etc., etc. Verse 11. I indeed immerse you in water unto repentance. Now he's speaking to all the Israelites here. But he who is coming after me is my whose sandals I am not worthy to bear. He shall immerse you in the set apart spirit and fire. The fire of justice. The fire of his word. Amplified by the set apart spirit. Those that can get the set apart spirit. The ones that are dead from the womb cannot get the set-apart spirit. So he's not talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees who were fake. And he's throwing that in their face. They did not like that. Verse 12. And on verse 12 you can reference the wisdom. Verses 14 and 23. That's the Wisdom of Solomon 5, 14 and 23. Verse 12. His winnowing fork is in his hand. That's where they would use this large-tined fork and throw the wheat and stuff up in the air, and it would separate the grain of the floor, the threshing floor, and the wind would blow away the chaff. Okay, that's what that winnowing fork was for. And he shall thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. That's where they did all of this. And gather his wheat into the storehouse. Into the storehouse, all right? But the chaff he shall burn with unquenchable fire. Separate the wheat from the chaff. Well, that's where it's done, on the threshing floor. And the chaff is stubble, hay and stubble. And it'll burn up. And that made the chaff people very upset, as it does today. The goyim know. Verse 13. And here we go. Then Yeshua came from Galil. That's what they call Galilee. Galil to Yohanan at the garden to be immersed by him. Now you're talking about the Messiah coming to be immersed by this man. He wanted to show himself the same as the rest of the people in a certain part, but there was going to be something happen when that was immersed, when he was immersed, that didn't happen to the others. This would set him apart, literally. Verse 14. But Yochanan was hindering him. Now, Yochanan had the Holy Spirit, and he saw who he was. He says, saying, I need to be immersed by you, and you come to me? Because he saw the Messiah coming down, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. You know, this is the Son of God. And he says, whoa, I'm not worthy to immerse you. Verse 15. But Yeshua answering said to him, for thus it is fitting for us to fill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. Verse 16 of chapter 3. And having been immersed, note that this, when he comes water, it happens. Yeshua went up immediately from the water. And see, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of Elohim that's the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and coming upon him. So two of the three were joined at that point. You know, they talk about the Trinity. Well, the three on this planet at the same time, because all three can't be here. The planet has sin. It would destroy the planet and all the people on it. We are imperfect. We could not have the full presence of Yahweh here. Only little manifestations, little pieces. That's a scary thought for the non-believers. That just the presence would destroy them. Think of verse 17. Now here's a whole bunch of references. So write these down. The book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 2. That's Genesis 22, verse 2. The book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verse 1. That's Isaiah 42, verse 1. The book of Psalms, Psalm number 2, verse 7. That's Psalm 2, verse 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 18, and chapter 17, verse 5. That's Matthew 12, 18 and 17, 5. The book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 11. That's Mark 1, verse 11. the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 35. That's 9:35. Okay, verse 17, and I'll read it. And see, a voice out of the heavens, that would be the sky, okay, saying, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I delight. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no hemming and hawing about it. There it is. Well, that ends chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. Now we're going to get into chapter 4. Because of all the notes, I'm going slow. I'm only going to do 2 chapters because I don't want to go to the middle of a chapter and then stop. I really, on my shows, I don't like to do that. Chapter 5 is going to be probably a show in itself because it is very long and very complicated. A lot of notes. Lots and lots and lots and lots. And it's a long chapter. 48 verses. So we're going to get 3 and 4 done today. And then I will do chapter 5 probably on Friday the 15th. I'll pre-record it like I am for this. I have trouble with live shows. There's all kinds of technical glitches and such. So I pre-record my shows in case there's a problem. I can go fix it before it comes on the air. So verse 1 of chapter 4. And for verse 1, you can reference the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 18. And chapter 4, verse 15. That's Hebrews 2:18 and 4:15. Then Yahshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, in other words, away from men. To be tried by the devil, because the prince and power of the air was here. And this is going to be his first confrontation with him. And he was going to shut him down. The old devil isn't going to come out on top on this one. He's going to get a whooping put on him. And that's why he hates Yahshua so badly. Verse 2. Now this is the son of Elohim himself. And after having fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. It purified his whole system. A periodic fast is cleansing. Okay? I know that just in general, I eat too much out of frustration. And my diabetes makes me want to eat, and I don't need the added fuel. So I have really seriously cut back, and my weight has dropped, and my sugar is better, and I'm doing better, okay? But even the son of Elohim fasted. We need to follow him. We need to do things that he did. We need to emulate his behavior because it was all righteous. He was the only one that was completely righteous and blameless. Man. And in these days, that's a difficult thing to conceive of. Well, here's the old devil when he comes around. Verse 3. And the trier came and said to him, in other words, he was trying him to test him. If you are the son of Elohim, command that these stones become bread. Well, that wouldn't be a natural thing. That would be abuse of power. Sure, he could do it. He could do anything that he wanted, being Yahweh in the flesh. But he was limiting himself to be an example to us. What patience, what love, you know. Yeah, I can just immediately take over the whole world. But then all these people that are in sin would perish and have to go into the lake of fire. I need to do what I need to do. This is what he's saying in his own mind, I'm sure. I need to do what I need to do and be that perfect sacrifice. This, all of this that he's doing is setting things up for that to occur. Because without it, we'd all be lost. We'd be doomed. Boo. Crispy critters. Man. So all of this is a predecessor to Calvary. It's a setup, getting ready, living a perfect life on this planet without sin that none of us can do, but he could do it. All people say, oh, yeah, you can live without sin. Oh, yeah? Show me somebody that's done that other than Yeshua Messiah. Show him to me. Introduce me to the man. Well, yeah, right. What scriptures say? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Elohim. Okay, all except Yeshua. Because he was Elohim. Verse 4. And you can reference Deuteronomy. Chapter 8, verse 3. That's Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Devarim, these are the words. But he answering said, it has been written. Not just said, but written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh. In other words, as hungry as I am, I'm not falling for it. Well, so much for the devil. Verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the set-apart city, that's Jerusalem. He set him on the edge of the set-apart place. That would be the temple. Up on the top. rooftop level. And said to him, if you are the son of Elohim, throw yourself down, for it has been written, he shall command his messengers concerning you. Now that is in Psalms 91, verse 11. And in their hands they shall bear you up so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. Now that's in Psalms 91, 12. So the verses for this verse are Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Verse 6 here. Verse 7. And he counters this devil with scriptures. Yahshua said to him, and he quotes Deuteronomy 6:16. That's the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 16. And this is what he says to the devil. You shall not try or test Yahweh your Elohim. Because they had tested him about water and all these other than food, and the Israelites just kept pushing Yahweh, and that's a bad thing to do. That's not healthy. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. It would have been better, you know, if they would have believed. But they didn't. What do we do? What are we doing today? How much of us are in unbelief today? Oh, we'll give lip service. But actually walking the walk? Just on Sundays when they go to their church, they might put on a good show. But during the week when they're out away from all the others and they're not fellowshipping with their own Israelites, when they're on their own, when they're alone in the world, what do they follow? If you go by the scripture in your everyday life, that's what Yahweh's wanting you to do. Not just when you're in a group trying to show yourself holy, but when you're alone with nobody to impress. Nobody's going to see it, just Yahweh. You and Yahweh alone. That's it. Do you follow the word then? That's the key. Not for impressing other people. It's not about other people. It's about our personal one-on-one relationship with the Father. That's the whole deal. Because the rest of the stuff can be very phony. Oh, hallelujah and amen, brother. Here's $100 in the collection plate. Oh, yeah, I'm so righteous. Oh, please. That gets so old. I guess I'm just not into the dog and pony show that's Judeo-Christianity. I was in it for years, and something was nagging me in the back of my mind. This isn't what, if this is all there is, Man, we're in trouble. Well, let's get back to the verses. Verse 8 of chapter 4. Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the reigns of the world and their esteem. In other words, all the kingdoms and their riches and their glory and how powerful they were. Verse 9. And said to him, all these I shall give you if you fall down and worship me. See, he wanted to be Elohim. Well, he wants to show himself more powerful than the very Son himself. That's that ego that the devil's got. He's got a raging ego. And he wants to be, he's a wannabe God. He wants to be. But he just doesn't have the bona fides. He can't cut it. That's like a lot of guys, you know, oh, I'd like to be a pro football player, but they'd go out there and just absolutely get clobbered. Verse 10. Here's the response. Then Yahshua said to him, go, Satan. That's HaShatan, the adversary. Okay, that's what Satan means, it's adversary. For it has been written. You shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him alone you shall serve. And you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. That's chapter 6, verse 12 of chapter 4. And you can reference Matthew chapter 14, verse 3. Mark chapter 6, verse 17, and Luke chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. That's Matthew 14, 3, Mark 6, 17, and Luke 3, 19 and 20. All right. Pardon me, I skipped verse 11. Then the devil left him, and see, messengers came and attended him. I have my really short glasses on today. I can only see, I have to get right up on this print is decent size, but I really need a large print version at my age. Now here's verse 12, which I just gave you all these references to. And Yahshua, having heard that Yohanan had been put in prison, withdrew into Galil. Now this is where they threw him into prison, and Herod's daughter says, give me his head. Well, Herod, it wasn't just his daughter. She was fooling around with her old man. It was an incestuous relationship. And she beguiled him and said, give me his head. Because she was a devil worshiper, or a devil in female form. So they did. They cut off his head. But that's later. Okay. verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Kephar Nahum, which is by the sea, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now that's the territory of Zebulun and the territory of Naphtali. It was right on the edge of the border. And you can reference the book of John, chapter 2, verse 12. Okay. Verse 14, continuing on. To fill what was spoken by Yeshayahu the prophet, saying, now 15 and 16 are all one paragraph. It breaks in the middle and they have a different verse for 16, but it's all one saying by Isaiah. Here you go, verse 15. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galil of the nations. Verse 16. The people who sat in darkness saw a great light, and upon those who sat in the land and shadow of death, light arose to them. Okay, you can reference Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. That's Isaiah 9, verse 1 and 2. In verse 15, they have Galil of the nations. In your King James Bible, it would be Galilee of the Gentiles, which is wrong. There is no word Gentiles anywhere in Scripture, Old or New Testament. Delete the word Gentiles from your vocabulary. It is not in Scripture anywhere. Period. No ifs, no ands, no buts. It's not in there. It's an insertion by churchianity to deceive you. Not Galilee of the Gentiles. It's Galil of the nations. Now these were seaside territories close to the Mediterranean Sea. Because all the different tribes of Israel occupied different territories there. This is what fell by lot to Zebulun and Naphtali. Verse 17, and you can reference Matthew 3, verse 2. Verse 17, Matthew 3, verse 2. From that time, Yeshua began to proclaim and to say, repent, for the reign of the heavens has drawn near. It's approaching. It's approaching. It's approaching. It's still approaching. Part of it's here already. The remnant are being called out. We're making our decisions, our final decisions. Those of us who are voices crying in the wilderness are trying to exhort to righteousness. That's what we do on EFR. We're calling out to our brothers and sisters, repent and come back to Yahweh. In truth, get out of this world and start living as Israelites once again. Faithful, Yahweh-worshipping Israelites. Some here and obey, some here and ignore it. Can't help them. Got to do what you got to do. It's on you. He's not looking for puppets. He's looking for willing, loving children. And if you don't love him enough and you love the world more, then you just go by the fate of the world. I can't make people do that. Verse 18. And here now he's going to start gathering disciples. Verse 18. And Yeshua, walking by the Sea of Galilee, that would be Galilee in your King James, saw two brothers, Shimon, called Kepha, that's the rock, Kepha, Peter, okay, and Andre, his brother. Kepha means rock. Okay? And Andre, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. That's how they fished, to catch large quantity of fish to sell. They would dry them and then sell them. Verse 19. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, you will catch men, and the net will be the words of Yahweh. That's how you catch them. Well, that's what we're doing. I'm casting a net out with every show. That's what I do, because this is what I have been shown to do. You have to live it. You can't, you know, this is an everyday, all day thing. And that's hard. Okay? I'm not gonna lie to you, it's tough. Verse 20, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Verse 21, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers, Jacob, the son of Zabdi, that would be Jacob, okay, and Yochanan, his brother, that would be John. In the boat with Zabdi, their father, mending their nets. They get torn. If they get a big fish, it'll tear the nets. The nets sort of fell apart after a while. And he called them. Now these were fishermen. This was their life. They lived there. Verse 22. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The son of Elohim called them, and they walked away from their life. Just walked away from it. Verse 23. Now you can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35. And the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 39. That's Matthew 9, 35. And Mark 1:39. Verse 23. And Yeshua went about all Galilee, teaching in their congregations, local congregations. Everybody met at the people's houses like we do. The CI people, we don't have big churches. We don't do that. We assemble in small congregations as they did in Scripture. Teaching in their congregations and proclaiming the good news, that's the gospel, that's what gospel means, good news, of the reign of Elohim. Now remember, the Holy Spirit had come down on him when he was immersed, and he had all the power to heal, proclaiming the good news of the reign and healing every disease and every bodily weakness among the people. He had that authority. Verse 24. And the news about him went out into all Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick, afflicted with various diseases and pains, and those who were demon-possessed. A lot of that back then, a lot of that now, but it's covered up. Okay? And epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Verse 25. And large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis and Jerusalem and Yehuda, that's the territory of Yehuda, and beyond the Jordan followed him. Okay, that ends chapter 4 of the book of Matthew. I will get into chapter 5 another day. It's going to be a very large book. Very large chapter, pardon me, rather. And lots of notes, and it's going to require explanation. So I will get into chapter 5. On Friday the 15th. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. A voice for European people worldwide.